Fuck, how big's your ute, man?
2.2 meters high.
What have you got?
A Ranger.
Oh, nice, bro. Raised with a snorkel and mud ties?
Yeah,
we joke about that in New Zealand, bro. We're like, when guys go out on their own and make their first 50 grand, they'll buy a big fucking truck. I'm like, yeah, well, why not, bro? Hey, guys, just doing a little sit-down talk with Stephen from Standout Projects. He started in the civil space. He's in the high-end resi in Melbourne. He was saying his last project, he was sort of sitting around $8,000 a square meter for high-end renovations. Stay tuned for this one. Should be a good one. Thank you. When I first started doing these, it was quite nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
But then once you just have in your brain, like literally, if you can imagine that there's no camera, you're just it's just like meeting a client or meeting a subby or meeting, I'm a subby to you. Like I potentially will price for you in the next 2 years. So it's like, that's all we're doing.
Give me a bit of background on what you guys do.
Yeah, man. So we're like, so I've got a building company in Auckland. So very heavily involved in like the sales, the negotiation and the pricing estimating phase. So we've got a team at eight and I strictly focus on all the, well, I don't do now, but I strictly focus on when a lead comes in, how fast and efficient we are to getting a price proposal out.
Yeah.
So we've got someone on the phone, obviously managing new leads, new inquiries. Our main thing, and you can jump in whenever we get an inquiry, our market's a little bit different. We don't go for the bigger, higher end stuff. We're purely sort of focused more on maintenance, bathrooms, that like under 250Ks, kind of like our lane.
Yeah.
But the margins are higher. That's what I realized.
What, like 30%?
40%. Smaller job. The closer you, the further you go down, the better the margins are. Like we can churn out 10K jobs and make, you know, $4,000 in 2 to 3 days.
Wow.
It's good money.
Yeah.
So when I first started doing the building business, I just dialed into like, that's where I want to sit.
Yeah.
I'm not a smart dude. I just want to do the least amount of work, make the most amount of money.
Shit, that's everyone's objective.
Do you know what I mean? And all good. I've got nothing against guys wanting to do the architectural builds, jump on the commercial stuff and be there for 2 years.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to find new work. You don't have to find a new client.
Yeah.
You sign a contract, you hit deadlines, and you get paid every month.
That's right.
That's the fuck. That's pretty cool as well.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm like, if I can go and do a job, and this is when I was on the tools.
Yeah.
If I can go and do a job, pump it out by 12 o'clock and make $1,000, fuck, I'm going.
Why not?
Yeah.
So how many leads do you reckon you get a week?
Well, I'll tag my fucking lead guy, man. He is a beast. He was generating 120 a month. Everything from small rotten framing weatherboard jobs, which sounds shit, but when you can go and do those and replace, you know, 30 or 40 lineal meters and you're charging $3,000 to $6,000 and a builder's doing it in 2 days, you're making good money, man.
Yeah, that's,
you know what I mean?
Money. So you got someone that's doing your what? Just like all your leads?
He's based in Thailand. He's a beast. But he lived in Auckland, was with me for like 4 years.
Yeah.
In Auckland. He's been in Thailand for 2 years now, but he's a freak. And he does all the stuff for Rapid QS as well. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So just SEO or what is it?
SEO, Facebook ads, Google ads. We run like a lot of personal like one-on-one video stuff, like direct shout out. Like we're trying to speak direct to our like main client, you know, like we want to speak to like the mum and dad sitting at home on the couch on a Tuesday night scrolling, fuck, we really need to get the deck replaced, all the rotten, the boards are fucking rotting, we need to sell the place.
Yes.
And then they come across our video, hey, if you need to get this stuff done, if you've got
we're
x
person,
y and z, we're the guy. What are you doing over here? What kind of work are you doing?
High end res.
It's a complete opposite lane from
me. Completely opposite. Yeah,
tell me about it. What did you start off in?
So I've always been in that high-end res market.
Even when you were doing your apprenticeship in that?
Well, I did the uni, so I came from a completely different end.
Yeah, cool. Tell me, start from scratch, man.
Yeah, so finished school, didn't know what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Went and did a management
diploma. Yeah. Construction management?
No, just management.
No shit.
Business management.
In here in Melbourne?
Yeah, Melbourne.
Yeah.
And then sort of took a grasp to building.
Yeah.
Went and did the diploma in building, building management.
Yeah.
And that led me to do the degree. So then I went and did the construction management degree.
Nice.
At RMIT.
How old were you when you finished all your management and degree training?
Oh.
Just so I can get some timelines.
Yeah. So finished school in 2004. Business management was just a 1 year diploma. So 2005.
Yeah.
Did TAFE 2007.
Mm.
Didn't finish until 2010.
How old were you at that stage? Mid-20s, late 20s?
Yeah, late
okay,
20s,
cool.
Yeah.
Just it's more just to give a timeline perspective on, I look at what people comment to us.
Yes.
And it's, I'm trying to be relatable as I can to guys who have done their time, qualified, touching base on about to go out on their own. So I love trying to put things in perspective.
Yeah. So yeah, so then I actually went and did a grad program with Abbey Group.
Okay, cool.
Which was a big... they were doing freeways and schools at the time.
Yeah, so more civil.
Yeah,
civil,
so I went to the hiring. Civil side just to do a grad program to see what they were like. And then worked on schools projects because the government put a lot of money into stimulus.
Yeah,
to the economy, packages. So they did like these public, private sector sort of schools.
And what was your role there? Like, what were you doing?
Defects.
Oh, real. Probably the worst part.
Yeah.
Telling people they've fucked up and they've got
to
come
and fix
it.
No, I had to go into each classroom, make sure that the number of PowerPoints were
the
room.
Quantity checking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The whiteboard was all set up, ready in the right spot. Fuck. PowerPoints and data points were all correctly.
Okay.
And then... if anything was missing, I had to follow up with that trade.
Okay, cool.
So that lasted about 8 months, and then I got shipped to the freeway. So
shipped. I love it.
Mornington Peninsula was doing the main freeway there, the new Peninsula Link.
Yep.
So I was building bridges. So it went from domestic, resi, to building bridges, and it was just incredible. Like,
eye-opener.
Oh, mate, absolutely.
Did you learn a lot?
Oh, heaps.
Yeah, that's
and
good, man.
You come into this culture where people follow the jobs. So most of the guys that were working on the projects were from all over Australia.
Yeah.
So they would come from all different parts of Australia and follow the job. And then once that job's finished, they move to the next one, wherever it may take them. So most of those people are probably now in Queensland working on the...
whatever
on the roads there.
Yeah. Okay, so you finished, how long were you doing those projects for?
I was there for 4 years.
4 years. So how did you transfer from civil and bridges to high-end resi? That's a huge...
So
big gap there.
While I was doing my degree, I was laboring to a small resi company.
Yeah.
And then once I knew that the bridges was wrapping up, I reached out to him again and said, I'm basically finished my grad program. I'm
sweet.
Want to go back into res. Worked for him for about 8 months and then this is not working out. He was constantly micromanaging me. Didn't want to let me off the leash.
That's horrible.
Yeah, so I said, all right, see you later. And then my mate got me a job in a very, very high-end boutique firm. They do...
just new builds?
So they specialize in new builds.
Okay, cool.
And if it's not new builds, it'll be extensive renovations. So their jobs ranged from anywhere between... 5 mil to 20 mil.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
So that's the
niche
that they're in.
Yeah. Okay. So what was your role there?
So I started off as a contract administrator.
Yeah.
Just letting out trades.
Yeah.
Getting stuff quoted.
So you're putting together a tender package, sending it out.
So basically, they had an estimating team that did that.
Oh, sweet.
And then I was engaged once the job became live, and we had to get subbies on board.
Yeah.
To get them to do the job.
Okay, cool.
I was reviewing their quotes, making sure that their quotes met the scope.
And
then I would give out a contract.
Yeah,
subcontract agreement.
Okay, cool.
So I did that for about 8 months, and then one of the jobs was really behind, so they decided to put me on there to try
speed it up. Nice.
So I was on that for about a year, huge job over in Toorak.
Yep.
$14 million job.
Cool.
And I was successful on that, and then they gave me my own job to run as a PM. So proved myself, did the project management, was there for just under 5 years.
Yeah. Did you have a budget and everything to hit?
Yeah.
How did you find that time and budget?
Time,
budget, and quality. They say there's a triangle, you can only pick two.
Yeah, so
you had to hit.
So fortunately, quality wasn't on me. So time and budget was on me. So each job had a supervisor.
Yeah.
And they were focused on
quality. Yeah.
And then we had to hit time and budget.
Okay. What was the job value of this one, and what was the time roughly?
So it was about 15 mil, 13 to 15 mil, and we had 2 years to do it in.
Yeah.
Full concrete structure, or form concrete walls. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of time in
that. A lot of time.
Yeah, and this was a brand new build. What was the client like? Did you meet the client?
Yeah, I met the clients. Very down to earth, considering the amount of money that they have.
I was going to say.
Philanthropists, like,
yeah.
Really.
Aussie based? Australian.
Yeah, Australian.
Yeah, crazy.
Aussies, yeah.
Was it their first house they had built?
Jeez, that's a good question.
I just find it's because it's always interesting when you deal with
probably
a client. Yeah, they must
I don't
have.
Think it would have been.
Yeah.
Like, they probably helped their kids as well, like an older couple.
Yeah.
Did
you build a good relationship with the client throughout?
No, so we didn't have much dealings with them, to be honest. It was more architect, interior designer, of communication.
Yeah, at that level, the client's probably pretty far back, to be fair.
And then after that, I worked on a winery over in Point Leo Estate.
Nice.
So,
what was that worth?
Probably high 20s.
Were you like the lead PM on that?
No,
one?
So I was like just once again brought in to settle the ship because it was just too many moving parts.
Oh, man. That's,
so they had a senior PM, junior PM, and then I sort of on the same level as the junior PM.
Okay, cool.
Managing the job, helping out, procuring things. Nice. Just there were so many moving parts because you got to imagine that they had a delivery dock.
Yeah.
They had the kitchen, full commercial kitchen, like eating areas. Like
yeah, it was just a lot of different stages.
Yeah, heaps of different moving parts that we had to hit.
Mm. I was involved in one project in Queenstown. It was 5 Mile, and it was we were in charge of building all the panels for four different blocks. That was crazy. It was like basement and then first floor came out, and then we had to do like the retail block, like food court eating block, which was like 450 squares, and then we moved on to shopping center retail block, but that went on for 18 months and that was my first taste of commercial and I absolutely hated it.
There's no such
thing as like sleep or weekends. They're just like, this has to be done by this day. The biggest thing was back of house had to be done by January 2nd. And they did some extremely semi-illegal shit to get stuff done. And it was absolutely horrible. I hated it. That's when I went back to Brizzy.
So I actually did a semi-commercial project while I was finishing up at this high-end builder. And that's sort of once I got my license. So I only got my license in 2018.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, 2015.
That's all right. So you've been about 8 years now.
So license, and then my father-in-law bought this shop front and said, I want to develop it.
Yeah.
So threw me straight into the deep end.
Nice.
Had to learn like disabled standards, making sure that we had the right turning circle for the wheelchair, the front door was the right size.
Yeah, almost an architect drafty.
So it was done by a drafty, the drawings.
Yep.
And then basically I had to fill in all the missing blanks.
Jesus, yeah.
So
how have you got, how did you start standout projects and what was your first project?
Yeah, so standout projects started 5 years ago.
Nice.
And sort of me and my business partner at the time, he had a carpentry background. I had the management side of things.
Perfect matchup.
Yeah, perfect match. And basically, we actually got gifted the first job. Like, I reached out to an architect and she said, oh, I actually have these clients. They're looking at doing a reno. Get in touch. So I rang them up. We quoted the job.
Nice.
Just fell into place.
Easy.
And
you probably thought this is too good to be
true. Yeah, I thought, geez, man, if it's that easy, then
everyone should be doing it.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a kitchen reno, resanding the whole floor, bathroom reno,
nice,
opening up a few walls.
Job value on this one?
Just over 100K. So started small.
That would have been very minor, obviously, compared to what you've been exposed to.
Yeah, so the hardest thing for me, I suppose, was going from all the way high end, getting those finishes and all these different materials that were so high end
and bespoke.
And then going to, I wouldn't say like all the way at the lower end, but it's like that huge.
Bit of an ego check somewhat?
No, not really. It was more so like, how do I build this maintaining budget when I'm only used to doing.
Okay, yeah.
And using these trades, using those materials, how do I go all the way from there to there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so that was a steep learning curve for me to make sure that we get the right trades,
yep.
get the right materials.
Yeah.
Because it's always easy to spend someone else's money.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now this is my own money.
Yeah.
So you've got to be conscious about where you go buy your material.
Yeah.
Who do you set up
trade accounts with,
etc., yeah. etc. And then we sort of got busy, hired our first apprentice. Then we have to now keep him busy. So now we've got an extra mouth to feed.
Find more work.
Yeah. And then so, but fortunately, like we rolled on and then COVID hit.
Oh, God. You would have just picked up some momentum.
Yeah, picked up momentum. And then COVID, the system broke.
Yeah.
So things became very difficult in terms of a task that ordinarily take an hour became 3 hours. Subbies on site refused to get vaccinated, so they couldn't come back to site. So we had to re-elect the contract.
Yeah.
So finding it. So finding the time to be able to peg that back.
So how big was the company at this stage? Of just yourself, business partner, and one apprentice?
Yeah, and then I probably grew exponentially.
Okay. Before COVID or after?
Before.
Before, okay.
Yeah.
So how many staff were you at before COVID?
Probably about 12.
Shit, it's pretty big.
So grew very quick in 2 years.
Yeah. How?
So I was doing 8 jobs at any one time.
Yeah, nuts. And how did you get your next job after that architect? Because people are always fascinated by getting jobs, filling up a pipeline. That's the hardest bit, you know?
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. Like, you always have in the back of your mind when you like
work
is always just work. How am I going to chase that?
Yep.
That next job.
Yeah.
Basically, you got to put yourself out there.
All the
it's
time.
Like reaching out to architects that you haven't reached out to before.
Yeah.
I found sending them an email was the best because I would try to call and speak to someone.
Too busy.
But always too busy. Wasn't the right time.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't want to know you.
Nah.
Whereas when you send an email, you got to keep it short and sharp.
Yeah.
Not asking for a job.
Yeah.
But planting the seed to say, hey, standout projects, we do high-end res.
Yeah.
Be more than happy to collaborate on on your next project.
Nice.
And then we started doing Instagram posts like, we'll provide you with a cost estimate for free.
Cool, man.
And then that just picked up momentum.
Yeah. You got to do what you can, eh?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a big believer in quoting for free and doing all that. Yeah. I did do it when I first started.
Yeah.
And you've done it. You do have to do it.
But we still do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I can spend 6 weeks doing an attender.
Yeah.
And it could be just a price check.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they have a preferred builder, but I don't know.
Yeah. Is that something that you work on in the business with, like, how do we pre-qualify more of our leads, or how do we know who's
So that's always been a discussion. How do we pre-qualify? Do we stay away from just the drafty and go down just the architecture route?
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a big difference. Because generally speaking, this is generalized, but if a drafty is engaged, their budget is on the lower end.
Yeah.
But if they go with an architect, they've been informed of what the price of the cost of the build will be.
Yeah, projected cost.
They've
got like
they have an idea.
Yeah.
So when they get their quote, they're not shocked.
Yeah, yeah.
They
yeah.
know that we're a builder, we charge prelims.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Whereas a mum and dad that goes to a drafty that wants to do an add-on, like, they just want to get a carpenter builder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
they don't need
I can't compete with that.
No, you can't.
So it was that we had to learn very quickly which jobs
we're tendering for, spending your effort and time.
Yeah, exactly.
At the end of the day, company costs.
Yeah, like chase. I have a full-time estimator.
Yeah.
I got to pay his bills.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you're not going to win the jobs, then how are you going to feed the army?
So how big's the company now? What kind of jobs have you got on? And kind of, where are you at with stuff?
So I got myself, so I bought out my business partner.
Okay.
Did
he just want to move on? Was it a change?
Yeah, I sort of feel that we were going in different directions. I wanted to do the big jobs.
Yeah.
And focus on the very high end, whereas he was very good at the smaller jobs, hands-on.
Nice.
So we were going different directories and we basically
said, has it ended all good?
Yeah.
Perfect. That's the dream result.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it could have been better, but won't go into that.
That's all good.
Yeah. But in saying that, like, we left amicably.
Nice.
He's doing what he needs to do. I'm now focused on what I need to do. So at the moment, we've got two guys in the office.
Yeah.
A PM and a junior PM.
Yeah.
I've got two guys over in Philippines that are helping us out. One doing entering all the invoices.
Yep. Data entry.
Data entry. Doing all the occupational health and safety.
Good.
And then I actually took estimating offshore.
Yeah.
So I hired an estimator over in Philippines.
Nice.
And he does all my estimating, all the back end stuff, sending out all the packages to get quoted, and then I'll sit with him a couple of days out before the tender's due and run through the tender.
Cool. So he's doing all your chasing up.
Yeah,
as
he's
well.
Doing all the legwork.
Yeah, that's a huge amount of work. Eh?
Yeah.
I mean, especially for jobs in your lane, there's a lot of there's so much stuff in getting prices back. Do you get two or three prices?
Yeah, so we try to get two or three prices per trade.
Yeah.
But the structure elements, we struggle getting your two to three.
Yeah.
That's like your concreters, your structural steel.
Yeah.
They very hard to come by and just...
Yeah. Is it just a lack of them doing it, or the guys that are doing it have got ridiculous timelines?
Oh, I can't answer that. Like,
prices back.
Yeah, you can't get, like, you like the bigger mobs, yes, you can get prices back, but obviously their prices are a lot more expensive. Whereas
for sure.
When you go to a one-man show, I suppose all their focus is getting the jobs done on site. And when they get home, they're a bit tired to do the quote.
Yeah.
So, but you got to stay competitive.
Yeah,
so can't go to a big concreting firm to do a slab. It's just...
You won't make money.
Yeah,
it's like the mum and dad coming to you for you and you're charging all these prelims. It's like the same
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And then finding a good concreter.
Yeah.
Like, because all the old concreters are retired now.
Yeah.
So you're relying on that new generation to come in and...
No one wants to do this stuff.
No, they just want to do the job, get out, and they're not too concerned about quality because it's the next person's problem.
Yeah.
So
that's horrible, man. Do you reckon that's a bit of a trend in Melbourne?
Absolutely.
So,
it's the next trade's responsibility. Like, if the frame isn't that perfectly plumb and straight, the plaster will just pack it out. But the plaster's not going to pack it out. He's going to stick his sheet on and move on.
Yeah. No one cares.
And then the tiler comes to me and goes, oh, I need to build up 10 mil of glue here. I'm going to have to charge you more.
Yeah.
So it's a revolving door. The next trade just cops it.
How do you try and mitigate that risk?
So we put in quality checks.
Yeah.
On each phase of the build.
Yeah.
So once the concreter comes, we'll actually put a straight edge on the the slab.
Make sure
that he's all good. And if there's any flat spots or humps or bumps, we'll get in before we pay him the last sum. We'll say, hey, you need to come in and self-level, or you need to come grind this high spot.
Yeah.
So that's one check for the slab.
Who physically does that from your company?
My supervisor.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So he's got a pretty strict checklist of what we're checking at what stage.
So office-based, we try to do all these checklists that we facilitate to the to the supervisor.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong, like, he's only one man running maybe two to three jobs at any one time.
I was going to say,
he's going to miss stuff.
Yeah.
So we try to put all that quality checks in place so that...
It doesn't happen.
But
we're all human, man.
We're all human. Some stuff slips through to the keepers.
Yeah.
And we're getting better.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we strive to.
That's just that's probably the hardest thing about high-end res.
Yeah.
You've got to be high-end.
Yeah.
And the tolerances are a lot less.
Yeah,
than
and throwing the standards and tolerances book to a architect ain't going to fly.
Nah.
So.
Nah, absolutely.
All the quirks, all the gaps, everything has to be minimal.
Yeah.
Painting, you can't see brush marks, everything needs to be.
So how many projects are you running at a time right now?
So we do So I try to do the 6 to 8 mark.
6 to 8.
Depending on the value of the job. So obviously the higher the value, obviously.
Yeah.
The more resources it requires.
For sure.
So then we'll drop it down.
Yeah.
I try not to do jobs that's starting at the same time.
Okay.
So for example, if a job is doing demo, I'll try stagger it to make sure that we don't get too labor intensive on one job and then another one suffers.
Yeah. So back to your structure and then just job flow. Yeah. You've got roughly just how many in the office? Just
so two in the office and myself.
Okay.
And so I'm like the head
honcho.
Yeah.
Head honcho. In the office. Yeah.
Yeah. Like doing helicopter manager. Like yep. I sort of let the guys run their own show.
But you've got to cut hats a half on for most
Yeah. Audience. So I know I try to do 2 to 3 site visits a week of each job just to make sure that everything's running smoothly. And then if a problem does arise and the architect calls me because somehow they still bypass the project manager and want to come talk to me direct. I'm like,
if it's serious enough for them, they're going to be serious, like, nah,
exactly right. Yeah. So I've got to be across the jobs.
Yeah, for sure.
And know who's on what job at any one time, and which subbies are on jobs.
Yeah.
So there's, as I said, there's a senior project manager, junior project manager, myself. Yep. So we're managing the office.
How do you manage your carpentry site? Is it all contracted out?
No, so all carpentry is done in-house.
Nice.
So I have 12 chippies.
Shit, that's a big operation.
Yeah,
man.
So big operation. And just making sure that every job has the right amount of resources.
Yeah, man. And labor. Managing labor and then labor allowances from the estimator on each job. How do you keep in check, say, for example, one townhouse, you've got 450 hours to stand frames. How are you checking labor hours versus time allowed?
Yeah, so...
back costing, essentially.
Yeah, so we have a project management software called Procore.
Okay, cool.
And in Procore, we're able to... every week, the labor timesheets get done.
Yeah.
It gets inputted into Procore. So I can actually see at any one time, every week, how the... it's more dollar figures.
Yeah, I know.
Matching then up, not so hours. Much hours.
Yeah, for sure.
Because in high-end res, you can't go in hours. Like, it's just what you think would speed stand up a frame doesn't always equate because curved walls.
Oh, man.
Palmets that all curve. Like,
What are your stand... like, when I think high-end res, I think 140 frames throughout everywhere. Are you pretty much standard?
No, so Melbourne, we still managed to get away with 90.
Yeah.
90 mil frames.
Okay, for single story and
double. Cool. 90 mil.
Yeah.
We're going to 140s where they want to get a fatter insulation bat.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
So it's not so much structure.
Yeah. Spec on insulation.
It's more spec on achieving the 6-star.
Okay. How do you run your, I'm just strictly trying to think of, I want to go more questions related to the following.
Yeah, sure.
You're like carpentry guys. How do you run your carpentry team? Like what's the structure there?
So I've sort of divvied it up with supervisors.
Yep, sweet.
So I've got 3 supervisors.
Yep.
Each supervisor has their own team.
Okay, cool.
So that team will follow to each project.
Nice.
And then I have a couple of apprentices that are floaters.
Yeah.
So, for example, the job in Toorak, if they need more labor extra hands, I'll send the apprentices there.
Cut nogs, put an insulation.
Exactly right. So each supervisor has a leading hand.
Yeah.
That leading hand should be able to know the answers to the questions.
Yeah.
Should that supervisor not be there.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
So you have a supervisor, leading hand, and then under that leading hand, you have your apprentices.
Okay, cool. Are your clients that you're building for, are they ever going on site?
Oh, absolutely. So we encourage fortnightly site visits.
And you'll rock around with them?
Yeah, a supervisor, not me per se. I'll drop into so every time there's a site meeting, supervisor will be involved, and so with the project manager.
Yep.
So they're running in tandem.
Nice.
And then either the architect will take site minutes or we'll take site minutes for them and distribute it.
Okay, cool. So when you're hiring like a site manager, like a site supervisor, is that what you call them? Site supervisor or a project manager?
Yeah.
You must have to look at, you've got to have the skills.
Yeah.
You've got to have the knowledge, but you've also got to have a bit of client facing side good, good chat, good attitude.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
that's a hard
communication is key.
That's a hard person to find. Do you think? Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, there's a lot of crap out there. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
People say they can do something, but they actually can't.
Yeah.
And when you throw them into the deep end, then you quickly find out either they sink or swim and they know what they're talking about. But yeah, getting that person that has both levels of understanding the technical side of things, as well as understanding how to communicate
with a client
is difficult.
Yeah, man.
But you can teach technical, but you can't so much teach communication.
Yeah.
So
personability, likability.
Yeah, exactly right. So I suppose when I hire, I'm looking for the person that I can have a good one-on-one chat with and engage and get a good feel of their personality.
For sure.
And then past experience is very important. Like how long did they hold a job for? Like if someone held a job for 6 months, I'd be like a bit sus there.
Yeah.
And then don't be shy to call references.
Yeah.
Okay. Like get references from them, past employers.
Yeah.
Reference check with a character. Like
find out what they're good at. Yeah.
Find out what they're like.
When you are meeting someone on attitude, is there anything that you look for or ask, like anything else that you're kind of digging for? For example, another guy I spoke to last week, he's big on what do you do outside of work? So like, do you play a sport? Do you have a hobby? And at what level have you achieved that? Because that always show like discipline and stickability as well. Do you have anything that you look for in that sense?
No, it's like...
At the end of the day though, if you get a good vibe from someone and the references say, yep, this guy's a gun.
Look, one of my project managers, I took a bit of a punt on.
Yeah.
And he's the best ever.
Nice. Like, there you go.
Came from a carpentry background, never done project management before. I was skeptical on like computer skills.
Yeah.
Like generally carpenters don't have much interaction with computers.
No, you just want them to be great builders.
Yeah, you just want them to be great chippies, understand the plans, forward thinking, forward planning.
Yeah.
Know the inside and out of the thing, the build. And then you put them into an office and say, hey, we need to do A, B, C, D.
Yeah.
Like, so I took a bit of a plunge with him and fortunately, like, disciplined, self-taught, happy to use the software that we provide him. Sweet. If it's something that he does understand, he'll go and research it himself.
Yeah, it's cool. Like,
couldn't have asked for a better employee.
Yeah.
Kiwi as well. So
let's go. New Zealand represent. Yeah. Has he freshly moved over or has he been here for a while?
So he was a chef in Brisbane, moved to carpentry.
Yeah.
And then stayed in Brizzy, did carpentry, and then moved down to Melbourne.
It's beautiful here, man.
I
just think there's so much more going on. Like, our industry is busy, but when you talk to guys like yourself, I mean, there seems to be ample amounts of work. Like, what's your pipeline like at the moment?
If you had spoken to me last June, July, I would have been like,
stressing. Shit.
I was stressing, like, nothing was coming in through the door.
And you still had 12 guys?
Still had everyone.
All that payroll.
Like I had enough work to see me out through the year.
Yeah.
But I didn't have anything to be able to jump on like day dot.
Well, when you're at your end area, you get a job, you know, get an inquiry from the architect, it's 6 months before you sign something up.
Yeah. Minimum.
So it's like, fuck, if you're 6 months out, you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, man. So June, July, like no inquiries, I'm talking to architects. Some architects were shutting up shop, like
wow.
They had no work coming in. You had all these different factors that were hitting the market. Builders were going under. Interest rates were going up. Everyone was still concerned about material delays.
Yeah.
You had all the whispers that tradies were charging through the roof. So it lost all confidence in the market. Like June, July, August last year. Like.
Yeah.
And at that stage, I'm like, jeez, what am I gonna do?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
What do we do?
No business partner to lean on. It's kind of like a lonely.
Yeah, so I brought in a CFO.
Yeah.
Said, how do I manage this? Like, where's my cash flow? Which month am I gonna be
out of money?
Yeah, out of money. And
how long did it take to find a CFO in construction?
Oh, it was quick. He reached out to me on LinkedIn.
Really?
And
nice.
And construction is his bread and butter. So cool. He doesn't worry about any other industry.
Yeah.
So he sort of jumped in, worked with my bookkeeper.
Nice. Is he with you full time or contract?
No, he's contracted.
Okay,
so
cool. Sorry, just
pay a retainer. You pay a retainer each month, and then every fortnight we do a Zoom for an hour, see where the business is at, tells me where to transfer the funds into which account.
Sweet.
Says Steve, mate, if you don't get a job by then, start bringing in money.
Yeah.
We're gonna have trouble.
Does that help reduce stress for you?
No, it doesn't.
I was going to say, man, because I'm like,
no, look,
it's another mouth to kind of feed.
Yeah.
If they don't, you know, yeah.
Yeah, like, because no one really wants to know the truth. No one really wants to know that you're losing X amount of money on a job. No one really wants to know that by February 2024.
It's all over.
It's done. Like,
yeah. Okay, what was the turning point? June, July, August last year. What was the...
November, December, like people just woke up. Like,
yeah,
I was getting 2-3 inquiries a week.
Yeah.
And maybe that's because of that other high-end builders started going belly up. Like there was a lot of change in the market. Like there was two big builders that were high-end went belly up, closed their doors.
Sure.
And I think that just gave an opportunity to other builders in that market.
Step into the space.
Yeah.
Take up some free projects.
Exactly right. Yep. And then I suppose also interest rates sort of were...
Tape it off a bit,
put on hold. But the first question I get asked when I meet a client is, how do I know you'll be there at the end of the job?
Yeah, you're not going to go bust.
Yeah, you're not going to go bust. And that's where the confidence in the market has really dropped off.
Okay. How do you answer that question, by the way?
Yeah, so basically I got all those resources at the back end to be able to help me.
Yeah.
I have my CFO. I have a bookkeeper.
Yeah.
We're constantly checking for our forecasts and budgets every month.
Yeah.
I have resources that can back me up.
Okay, cool.
So it's not like I'm running on $5,000 every month to be able to facilitate the job.
Have you ever, sorry, this is the point I want to ask, have you ever had a client ask for some sort of like proof of
stat decks? I have to sign stat decks.
So on every project?
Not every project. Some projects, clients want me to sign a stat deck every month to say that I've paid all the stubbies for that month.
Yeah.
I have no outstanding dues.
Yeah, interesting.
Sign here.
Yeah. And does your accountant have to sign that as well? Or just
no,
you?
No, so just me.
Okay, cool.
At the end of the day.
You're the one making the payments.
Yeah, I'm the director, so everything falls on my head.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like I'm conscious that I won't go get $6 million jobs because I know that I can't cash flow that.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that I can't afford to take on those type of jobs.
Yeah.
So if a job comes through the door and I see that it's going to be up of $4 million, I'll politely decline and say, I don't have capacity right now
to hit this.
To do that job.
Do you find when you turn clients away, they're more inclined to go with you?
No, not really.
No, they're happy to
They're happy that I've
ways.
Been honest with
okay,
them
cool. yeah.
and not lead them on.
No, that's something that shows a lot of integrity though.
Yeah,
usually
absolutely.
When you can turn a client away for an honest opinion, they're kind of like, well, shit, if builders are going bust, this guy's been honest, we might just wait until he's ready.
Yeah, so a few projects have actually been put on hold because of that.
To like, wait for you?
No, wait for the market to take a breath.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And sort of recatch its momentum before they do anything.
Okay,
because subbies are still hard to get.
Yeah.
And they're charging for it.
A bomb, yeah.
So I'm seeing probably a 30-40% increase.
Yeah.
For subbies across the board.
Yeah.
Over the past, I'd say 18 months to 2 years.
Do you, when you put out tenders, do you get quotes or tenders back based on square meter rates or just job by job?
Job by job.
Job by job.
Yeah. So some clients will come to me and say, or some architects will say, hey, Steve, we have this project coming up. Can you run some numbers on it?
All right.
So I'll do a square meter rate.
Yeah.
based on previously tendered jobs or live jobs.
Just to give them a feel for where they're at.
So I'll say, I'll give them actually a trade breakdown.
Nice.
Like, I'm not scared to give them a trade breakdown. Look, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong because of where the market is.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for example, we did a cost estimate for a job last year in Richmond. We're currently sent it out to the market.
Mm.
We've got it back and I'm within 10%.
Nice. What's the rough square meter rate on a project like that?
It's high because...
10,000?
It's probably about 7.
Okay.
The reason why is because you're not getting your economies of scale of space.
Yeah.
So everything's put in a tight area.
It's packed and tight.
So you get 2 bathrooms, a laundry and a kitchen in a house in Richmond.
Yeah.
Is going to be expensive because you're not getting that square meter of an open area.
Absolutely, man. Yeah.
So, yeah, whereas probably pre-COVID, 4.5.
Yeah, nice. People love 7. Rates, man. It's people like obsessive rates.
But I think it's just puts confidence in them and then allows them to go to the bank, understand their borrowing capacity,
see
where they're at, and then they'll say, all right, Steve, we're ready to go, or they'll go back to the architect, do some adjustments.
Try drop the price.
Try, and that's where I prefer to do a negotiated tender rather than a competitive tender.
Cool.
Work with the client and the architect.
From the get-go. To hit a budget. I find that's real important, eh? Because these clients will just go to an architect, get all this fancy shit drawn up.
$5 million spending someone else's money.
Yeah, and then they're like, we've only got $2 million, not $5 million.
Yeah,
versus
exactly.
Where I feel like if you can get a couple cost proposals throughout the job, we're big on concept estimates.
Yes.
Spend a small amount of money, go see an architect, get some concepts done.
Yeah.
Hey, this is sitting between 2 and 3.
Yes.
I know it's a broad number, but at least it's like 2 and 3. And then instead of spending, what, $50,000 with an architect and doing all your submissions and council stuff.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, we're $2 million short.
Yeah. Yeah. Then what do we do?
It's a huge number.
And then it's very hard to find $2 million.
Yeah, exactly. It's easier to find a couple hundred grand.
Yeah, exactly right. And so I suppose going back to tendering, a negotiated tender is better because then we can work with the architect, work with the client instead of doing solid timber for your joinery, let's go to a veneer.
Yeah, for sure.
Instead of using concrete subfloor, let's look at a Hebel.
Yeah.
So these are the things, that I don't know if it's an architect's too scared to go to the client and say, hey, I've drawn this house for you. They really like it.
Yeah.
We've put forward these materials.
Mm.
Now, what do they do? Like, how do they tell the client, like, shit, this is what it's actually going to cost?
I feel like, and this is another, the architects do an amazing job, but I sometimes think they're more concerned about what their portfolio looks like than the actual job.
Couldn't agree more.
Like, what are they going to put on Instagram?
You know? Yeah, and they're still getting paid
I know.
All the documentation.
And then it's someone like you to come in and give the hard word and be like, nah, man, we've got to strip all these luxuries.
Exactly right.
I just want to know, so for example, I want to know your process. When a client comes to you, do the inquiry, you give a ballpark figure. What's your step-by-step process to get them signed up to? And elaborate as well, go into fixed price contract, cost plus stuff.
Yeah, so inquiry will come through generally from an architect. They'll send us like the concept design and they'll say, are you interested in quoting the job?
Cool.
And then some of them will turn around and say, hey, can we get a cost estimate for it?
Mm.
Or we're going out to tender. Are you interested? We've got 3 other builders, so you're 1 of 4. So I'll look at the drawings. Once again, we're making sure that it's a right fit for us.
Yeah.
Not too big, not too small. Location is another thing. Like I'll try to stay within our region.
Yeah.
So then once it becomes a competitive tender, we get given 6 weeks tender period, 4 to 6 weeks, anywhere between that. And then we'll do it, submit it. Generally speaking, it's about 3 weeks before you hear from the architect to say, hey, your price is either too high, in the middle, down low. And then basically what will happen is that they'll say, oh, you're too high. We're going to negotiate with another builder.
Okay, cool.
Or go the other side. You're 1 of 2.
Yeah.
The client wants to see your work.
Nice.
Wants to talk to some references.
Sweet.
And then you know, geez,
we're on.
We're on. And then basically that can be another month.
Yeah.
So that's already 2 months gone.
Yeah, it's a long process.
Long process. And then in the back of your mind, like, oh, the subbie's going to hold that price. Because remember, you've quoted that now already 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Generally, quotes only valid for 30 days. And then...
Yeah, man.
So you're trying to speed up the process. Clients are trying to make the best decision for them. So it's... Yeah. It's constant.
Like, it's a pressure cooker, man.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, for example, now we quoted a job, met with the clients. They said, yeah, you've got the job, but we need to strip back $100,000.
Oh, man.
So then you're going through it all again. Yeah. Like, where can we find $100,000? The architect's very reluctant to change the design.
Yeah.
So then it's left to us of what materials or building processes we can put in place to be able to get that price down.
For sure. So when you get to that space, we'll hold where you are because I still want to go through that.
Yeah.
Is that just a case of, okay, cool, 100 grand, you'll go back to your estimator, have a Zoom with him, hey man, we need to find 100 grand. Do you kind
of... No, so I go to the architect and say, hey, you need to provide us cost savings.
Okay,
like, because I can strip it out,
yeah.
But at the same time, design's out of my jurisdiction.
Yeah, like, sweet.
I don't know what the design that the client... I'm not involved in the brief, the design brief. I don't know what the client wants.
Interesting. So you just put that back on the architect.
I put that back on the architect.
Fair play, man.
You tell me what you want to strip out, what you want to change. I'll tell you the cost savings if you find a substitute.
Yeah. And are the architects open to working with you on that?
Oh, absolutely.
Because they've already been paid. So they're
They want that job to come...
To fruition.
To go live. They want that job to go live.
Okay, cool.
Because once again, one more for their portfolio.
Yeah.
If they're administering the job, they get a percentage of the fees for the duration of that project.
True, yeah.
So it's in their best interest...
Make it work for
to
everyone.
To make it work for everyone.
Cool, man.
So then, typically speaking, we sign a fixed price contract.
Sweet.
Have
you always done fixed price?
Always done fixed price.
Never done anything on cost plus?
I try not to.
Some areas you might cost plus.
If I don't know the price, we leave it as a provisional sum or a prime cost.
Yeah,
if I don't know the price of that particular item, I'll do it as a prime cost allowance.
Yeah.
If I don't know the scope of that works, I leave it as a provisional sum.
Okay, cool.
So there's still money in there.
Nice.
Should shit hit the fan.
Yeah.
There's still a little retainer in there.
Okay, cool.
Cost plus, lot of admin. The client can turn around to you and say, hey, I didn't want to spend that much.
Yeah.
Or you have to go get 3 quotes on the fly.
I know.
You're trying to get momentum on site. You then have to pause it because you don't have the right price. Yeah.
People think you save money like with cost plus, but the amount of extra time you're billing from the office to sort out, it's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
Nah.
And to be honest, subbies are not going to price a job in 3 days.
Nah.
They're going to want at least 2 weeks.
In your space, for sure.
Yeah, so it's impossible to do a cost plus.
Yeah.
Yes, don't get me wrong, some other builders are doing cost plus, but I know the price of a fixed price contract. I know the budgets that I have to attain. It's straightforward.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about presenting an invoice to a client and then start getting
them
questioned and I have to justify it. And then a subbie then prices a job and then has a variation on that.
It's too confusing.
It's very difficult. Yeah. You got that price. Now you're putting in a variation.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's a fixed price contract, unforeseen, you can put in a variation.
Mm.
And the client and architect understand that.
Yeah.
That, yes, variations do arise.
For sure.
Particularly in the renovation space.
Yeah.
New builds, it's a little bit harder to put a variation in.
Yeah, it's all stock standard. Really.
Yeah.
I feel like once you're out of the ground, there's no leniency
changes. Unless it's client or architect driven.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Nah, that's cool. Okay, cool. So you'll get a fixed price contract from those clients. And then have you ever had clients bite back at changes? Have you ever had a project that hasn't gone well? Have you lost money on a project? I want to get into some problems.
Yeah, so
people love problems.
If any builder tells you that they're not losing money or they don't have problems on site, they're liars.
Yeah. Give me some.
I lose money on every job.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie. I mean, it's always going into the bottom line. So you always want to go into a job with 15 to 20% margin.
Yeah.
At the time when I really desperate to get jobs, I was anywhere between your 12 and 15%.
Yeah, cool.
It's going in really lean, trying to get that job. At the end of the day, I lose money on every job.
Yeah.
It's just mitigating how much you're losing.
How much you're losing, yeah.
Yeah. The reason why we're losing money is mistakes on site.
Things from a labor perspective, like your guys?
Labor. And then when a subby says, oh, the plans weren't really clear, but they didn't make any allowance in their quote, and then they come back to you and say, hey, I really didn't allow for the box gutter to fall this way.
Yeah.
It's going to cost another $1,200 to redirect it. Like,
oh, man.
I can't go back to the client and say, hey,
the
plumber didn't allow for the box gutter to run the way that it need to be to feed the tank.
Yeah, they'll be like, and this guy's building our $5 million
house.
Yeah,
exactly. That's $1,200.
Yeah, absolutely. And then do that 10 or 15 times.
Yeah, it's 12, 15 grand.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. Yeah.
And during the time of COVID, you've priced the job, it's fixed price. You can only have 5 people on site at any one time.
Mm.
Subby's walking off the job because they couldn't get vaccinated.
Yeah.
Re-letting that contract on a price that you got quoted 8 months ago.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's tough, man.
Yeah, and also defects. Like, defects cost money to fix.
Yeah, absolutely.
The time getting the planer back, the painter refusing to come back to do it. So then you have to get another painter in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you've already paid him. I'm really bad on retention because subbies don't want to work in retention anymore.
Yeah, they just want to get paid.
They just want to get paid. And you want to try keep that good relationship with that tradie because getting someone else, you don't know their quality of work.
It's risky and it's hard.
Yeah.
But you've got to protect your bank account too. Like,
I know. So every job I lose.
Yeah.
Two jobs in particular, one over in Fitzroy, which was a terrace.
Yeah.
Just got caught in COVID. Material costs, that just stuffed me up. And the time that it took to do the job just screwed me over.
That's horrible.
And then you get hit with liquidated damages. So not only are you losing money on...
Yeah, the actual cost on of the items. Cost of
the build, you're losing money.
Days, liquidated damages. Weeks, months. Yeah. How much a day were we talking on that one?
So that one we're at $1,200 a week.
Oh, man.
So
$6,000, $4,800 a month.
Yeah, so I went over there 3 months.
Yeah, it's $15,000.
$15,000 gone again. So that comes out of your retention.
Yeah.
So put 15 plus the other 30 you lost, that's already $45,000.
Yeah.
Whereas that was only $1 million job.
Yeah.
Margin's only 15%.
Yeah. Yeah, that's huge. It's like 30% of your profit gone, like that.
Exactly right.
I suppose that's the game, that's the risk you're playing with high-end resin.
Yeah, exactly. And then another big job that was a new build, our first new build. Once again, quoted it in light gauge steel because we couldn't get timber at the time. So then we reverted back to timber, got that prefabbed. Obviously, the timber was a little bit more expensive.
Yeah.
Because we didn't want to go metal studs because we're not used to metal studs.
Nah, and that would
have cost me. I had carpenters. I couldn't get my carpenters in the metal studs. So
yeah, it's a lot of...
What do I do? So on every job, there's always something. There's always a headache.
What would you do if you didn't want to build?
Yeah, I've often thought about that.
I was going to say, man.
I've often thought about that.
Yeah.
I haven't even
thought about it.
Thought about really what I'd do, what I could do.
Yeah, you get stuck in the game.
You get stuck in the building game and it's hard to get out of.
Yeah, man.
Like I've always thought about just maybe packing up and going working for another builder.
Yeah.
And making it someone else's problem.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when you're your own boss, you have your own team. Like, you wake up in the morning, I'm like, I really love what I do. I love going to the office, speaking to the guys on site, seeing the jobs come to completion.
That's cool, man.
Clients walk in. Like, I did this job, took over from another builder. And like, when we finished the job, the daughter came and wrapped her arms around me and said, thank you, because I never thought that the job would actually be finished.
Yeah, that's quite a cool feeling.
Yeah, it's such an awesome feeling. But then you have some other jobs where the architects and the clients are involved. They're like,
Yeah.
Fuck, you've delayed the job.
Yeah.
You've come through all this. They're just so...
The highs and lows are pretty drastic, eh?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then put that in the mix of losing all the money.
Yeah.
It's a tough game.
It is tough, man. I'm all good for my stuff. I can keep going. If you want to dabble on any notes, so it's on your end, and we can cut this out. If you've got anything you want to... Otherwise, we can... I think we'll be all...
I don't know if you got anything else.
Yeah, man.
No, I mean, you covered pretty much everything.
No, that's cool, bro. I've got a couple more things. Brendan will cut this out, so that's fine.
Yeah, beautiful.
What do you see? What's your main thing you see happening in the market for Melbourne for the next 12 to 24 months?
Oh, I reckon it'll be flourishing soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Because interest rates are on hold.
Yeah.
RBA sort of cut that. I think. Yeah. I think that. People always need to renovate.
Yeah,
it's like people always need a haircut.
Yeah, changing with the times.
Yeah, they'll have to change with the mind. Yes, they may have had $1 million budget back then. They may only now have $800,000 budget.
Yeah.
They may do a portion of the house and then leave the pool maybe for a later time.
For later, yeah, exactly.
Or they may leave a bathroom out. Mm. Like this one job that I'm doing in Mill Park at the moment, really tight budget. Then went through an architect.
Yeah.
I'm still desperate on work, like trying to fill the spaces.
Yeah, get those 6 months blocks.
Yeah, like they wanted to go straight away.
Yeah.
It was only a 300K job.
Yeah.
And they deleted a shower, saved about $6,000. And that's all they needed to get over the line.
Yeah.
Sign a contract, starting the end of the Feb.
Done. Lock it in.
That's $275,000.
Yeah.
Making 20% margin on that.
It's good money, eh?
3 months, I should be in and out.
Yeah, nice. So you think you can turn things around pretty quickly, just getting on the phone, landing a few jobs can change.
Yeah, like people ask me, like, what's my capacity like? I can always make a plan in resources.
Yeah.
The only thing that always holds me back is cash flow.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing.
Hardest thing. Like...